Welcome to Rod Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Rod Talk is the show where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. And tonight we're going to think about MySpace, not specifically where I'm sitting right now, but that online social networking place that so many people like to hang out. And MySpace seems to be in the news quite often, if not for its spectacular growth, then for concerns over predators who might be using it to harm innocent children. And so we're going to talk a little bit tonight about what MySpace is, how we can use MySpace in a safe manner, what we need to be aware of to protect our children, to protect ourselves. And then finally, can MySpace be used for ministry? And we'd love to have your questions and comments as well. So if you want to give us a call, 505-338-5790. In fact, it's kind of funny. Right before we started the show, my producer, Steve Madrid, reminded me that we need to MySpace the MySpace show, because we always put a bulletin on MySpace to let people know what's happening on Raw Talk, and that they can call in. And, you know, the fact that M88 has a MySpace page was actually a subject of a lot of debate amongst those of us here at the staff. We weighed the pros and cons before we decided to do that, and that might even come up tonight as well. And just one little warning, who knows, but anytime you talk about the internet, explicit content may or may not come up as part of the conversation. So if you're concerned about that, distract kids in another room. I'm not saying that it will, but never hurts to be safe. And like I said, anytime you talk about the internet, that just inevitably seems to be something that comes up eventually, especially with a lot of the concerns about MySpace so far as explicit content goes. Before we talk a little bit about MySpace, I want to introduce our guest tonight. Jason Illion wrote a book called MySpace, My Kids, My Kids, MySpace, something like that. MySpace, My Kids, that's what it was. Jason Illion is an author, he's a speaker, he is newly married, and we've had him on the show before, and I always love chatting with Jason. Jason, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, man.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I was glad that we could have you back. I've been wanting to have you back for this whole MySpace, My Kids thing for a while now, and it's just been busy schedules and whatnot. Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself once again, just so they can reacquaint themselves with you?
Yeah, well, actually, the first time I was on the show, you and I chatted a little bit about love, sex, and dating.
That's right.
I wrote a book called Undressed.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was out speaking on Undressed and kind of going around the country, there's a lot of these kind of online relationships, things that were starting to happen. So I started to look more kind of into what's going on with our culture and where are our kids going and, you know, how are they building relationships? And that brought up MySpace. And since then, it's just kind of been a natural turn of events, and God's really taken it different places where I've been out in L.A. visiting with MySpace headquarters and their executives, and just got to a point that says, man, you know, MySpace is this powerful tool. How is it going to be used? Is it going to be used for good, or is it going to be used for bad?
Mm-hmm.
And that really just, you know, and in the midst of all that, I also got married, and my wife got pregnant, and all the other fun stuff that life brings. And so, you know, I've been exceptionally blessed, but it's also been a very interesting year as well.
I can imagine, man. That's a busy year to have all that happen within the space of the year. And by the way, congratulations to you and your wife on the coming bundle of joy. That's really exciting news. I was excited to hear about that when we were talking about that off the air. And
thanks, man.
We'll pray that goes smoothly, because I know pregnancy can be, you know, kind of a scary thing sometimes.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, she's so sick right now. I'm just waiting for her to yell out at some point, I don't know why you did this to me, you know.
That'll come. Trust me.
Yeah.
That'll come. If not now, then, you know, during the delivery. But that's really not what we're discussing tonight.
So on to the other topic.
Yes. Let's move on to that other topic. In some ways, it might be slightly related. First of all, let me ask you this, Jason, just because, you know, you just said that you're getting ready for your first kid. And just to, you know, not questioning your credibility or anything, what prompted you, what inspired you to write a book about MySpace, My Kids, seeing as how you didn't have any kids at the time that you wrote the book?
Yeah. No, that's a perfectly legitimate question. And it's interesting because I've been speaking to teens since I was 19, so a little over a decade now. And, you know, especially when you start talking about dating and sex and drugs and peer pressure, there's a lot of these subjects that kids just aren't talking to their parents about. And so as I traveled around the country, and, you know, especially with internet tools now, a lot of kids asked me lots of questions. And so although I didn't have any teens, I kind of felt like I had a lot of younger brothers and sisters that were going through this and growing up in it. And so as I went through this and, you know, kind of the MySpace phenomenon hit, you know, these were the kids that, you know, I'd spoken to so many times, and I cared about them just like I would any of my brothers or sisters. And so I really felt passionate about diving into this and really saying, okay, let's figure this out. Let's say, you know, is this thing a tool? Should we ban everybody from it? Should we support it? What do we do? I mean, I heard you say that even M88 was questioning whether they have a MySpace page.
Yep.
You know, and I think everybody needs to at least question and think through before they step on the panic button with any tool or communication. And that's really what drove me to do this, is like, let's understand this. Let's have an educated, well thought out, you know, full approach on this that's based on our faith. And from that came MySpace, my kids.
Well, and, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're one of those type of people who does like to think things through, examine all the options, you know, get all the information and then move ahead. And that's one of the reasons I've always enjoyed chatting with you, because I just like the fact that you like to think things through first, as opposed, you know, let's be honest, Christians, a lot of times we just react. Something happens, we react. And yeah, and we don't often think things through. And with the explosion of MySpace, I saw a lot of that within the church. You know, MySpace exploded. The church instantly reacted, and what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Our kids are threatened, you know, and it was just a reaction without a lot of thought behind it.
Well, you and I have talked about this before, and the reality is we are called to be the church, not to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we get caught up in the institution of going to a building with four walls. We live in a society where the message, the good news of Christ, is being spread in bits and bytes on the Internet. And we need to understand that our faith is a faith that goes beyond languages now. It goes beyond borders. It goes beyond governments. And a lot of that's happening on the Internet. And so as a church, we can't, as you said so many times on your show, is like, we cannot be reacting to this. We have to be proactive. We have to have a stance on this. And we have to understand it well enough so that we can stand up in a crowd, and when it's our turn to talk, say something where people want to listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for, you know, the maybe two or three people out there who aren't very familiar with MySpace, and let me start off by saying, I myself, not a MySpace user. I help out with the M88 MySpace page, but I don't have, like, my own personal MySpace. I've never seen any reason to have my own personal MySpace. Everyone's always telling me, you gotta have one. And I'm like, why? Because anyone who's everyone has a MySpace. You're not really a person unless you have a MySpace page. And, you know, I pinch myself. I'm like, I don't know. I think I exist pretty well without it. I think I'm doing all right. I was talking to someone the other day, and they're like, oh, are you one of my friends on MySpace? And I had two thoughts. First of all, you don't even know all the friends that you have on your MySpace page. And that's kind of weird. And second of all, when I said I didn't have one, they looked at me like I was, you know, from Mars. I'm like, what? You don't have a MySpace? How do you survive?
Right.
It was pretty bizarre. But for people who aren't familiar with it, or maybe people like me who don't use it a whole lot, and the fact is we live in the day and age of the online communities. And actually, I was very fascinated with how Facebook was an online community that helped out a lot with that recent tragedy at Virginia Tech. There was so much that went on online in that online community at Virginia Tech, and it really demonstrated to me, I mean, that really when I took notice, it's like, wow, we really do live in the day and age of the online community. Jason, why don't you just explain a little bit what this whole MySpace thing is about for a few people who might not be aware?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, MySpace and things like Facebook or Zanger or Friendster or whatever you want to call, none of these social network sites are that complicated. And basically what it is a MySpace page. When somebody talks about it, it's just a web page. It's a web page that you can tailor and design to your own desires, meaning you can go on there and put your own favorite music. You can upload your pictures. You can write blogs, which for people that don't know, it's kind of like an online diary. You're writing what your thoughts are, what's on your heart. And it's also a place where you can collect friends, or your friends can come to your page and you can link them to it. So, you know, for parents, that this is certainly not their world. They didn't grow up like this. I often compare it to a house. You know, as parents, we have houses. We have, you know, material things where somebody comes into our house, there's the walls, we can decorate the walls, carpet the place, and kind of tailor it to our own liking. Well, as kids, they don't have that. So what do they have? They have a virtual house, a virtual space. And in their virtual space, they can decorate how they want, express themselves. And it's called MySpace because it's literally your space. You can do with it what you please. And You know, it's just, it really has been a phenomenon. At this point, I think there's like over 190 million users worldwide, which is, you know, two-thirds of the U.S. population.
Right. And I thought it was kind of astounding. I was looking up, once again, our researcher Sorrell has done a fine job bringing some statistics to light. And what we found was starting in July of 2004, MySpace, visits to MySpace represented 0.1% of Internet visits. The following year, it was 1.9% of all Internet visits. And then in 2006, it was 4.5% of all Internet visits here in the United States. Now, that's an amazing explosion of traffic for a site in just those 3 years alone. And, you know, like you said, there's millions upon millions of people who use MySpace, a third of the population of the United States. That's astounding in itself. One-third of the population, you know, I'm not saying that one-third of they're all from the United States. That's worldwide. But still, to put in perspective, that's like a third of the United States being on MySpace. It's absolutely mind-boggling that they are all going to this online community. Jason, what is the draw of MySpace? Because I'll be honest, I don't get it.
Right. Well, you know, I think really what the draw is the same draw of why our Christianity has a draw. It's about a relationship. You know, people go online now because we live in a world so full of temporary relationships, we want something permanent. And so you go online and, you know, you can meet all these people and collect all these friends, and even though there's times where it may be faux or false intimacy, it appears to be real. And we live in a day and age where people want real relationships. You see how many divorces are out there. You see how many kids get pregnant in high school. You see our parents getting, you know, having marital problems. We live in a world where the relationships don't seem like they last. And so we're looking for that. We're desperate for it. And that's why this online, this social networking thing has exploded, because people just are desperate. They want to feel something. They want to be something. They want to have a way to express and have somebody hear their dreams. And, you know, even though there's danger, there certainly are dangers of that if it's not done well, you know, they're driven to places like the Internet and MySpace. And, you know, MySpace has been one place that's birthed a number of other businesses out of that where people can express themselves. And it's not going to, you know, I hear a lot of parents say, well, I just wish MySpace would go away. And I often say, be careful what you ask for. Because even if MySpace does go away, which I don't think it will anytime soon, but if it does, a bigger, stronger, older brother will take its place. And when that happens, I mean, the social networking thing's here to stay. It's just in what iteration you see it in and to what degree.
Now, I gotta ask you, Jason, like, honestly, really? Relationships through the Internet? I hear what you're saying, that, you know, people do want relationships, and that is absolutely true. We live in a hurting world where people feel empty. They want something. They want to fill that hole. As Christians, we know the relationship they really need is Jesus Christ. But I find it a little difficult to understand, to find a quote-unquote real relationship. They do it through electronic means. I mean, what's real about that?
Oh, well, no, I totally agree with you, and I'm not saying that it works all the time.
Right.
But you also have to remember something. One, creating online relationships is easier than creating real-world relationships, so more people are willing to try it. And, you know, secondly, you know, you're able to kind of even test out your own personality and being and see what draws you to the world, where, you know, when you're online, you don't necessarily have to be yourself. There's stats upon stats showing upon even the dating sites where people are always saying they're better looking and taller and, you know, trimmer than they really are, right? I mean, there's all sorts of stuff about that. Well, it's the same thing in MySpace. You know, we always say everybody looks good on MySpace because nobody's going to stick up an ugly picture of themselves and say, hey, look at me. You know, they're going to put their best looking picture and they're going to really spend time crafting those five sentences that describe who they are. And, you know, and on one side of it, it does make us look very narcissistic. You know, it's very self-centered on that piece. And the other side is like, okay, well, if everybody's being drawn here, though, if everybody's already here, and even if they are lost, what a great platform that is now to spread the good news, to spread the word about Christ, to talk about our faith. Because if you really want to be in the trenches, these are the trenches.
That's true. And one of the dangers, though, of being in the trenches is you might get dirty. or you might get hurt. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a question or comment that you'd like to share as we talk about MySpace, give us a call, 505-338-5790. 5790. That's 505-338-5790. If you got a question for Jason or myself about MySpace and how it's being used, what are the dangers? What do you think about it? Really? Relationships on MySpace? And Jason, that was a great point that it's easier to do it online, but then the question is, does that make those relationships any better?
No, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily make them better or even real.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. I can pull up, you know, half a dozen MySpace pages in probably the next 30 seconds and tell you, you know, pull up pictures and blogs and all sorts of stuff where that person's not really being, there's a misrepresentation about who they are online versus who they are in the real world.
Well, now let's talk a little bit about, and this is something that I'm sure parents would be interested in, because there's always, almost seems like there's always some sort of news bit about the problem of sexual predators on MySpace and what's going on with that. And, you know, I'm sure that's a huge concern for a lot of parents. That was one of the reasons why we as a station were concerned about being on MySpace and the element of control, and you don't really know who's out there. Talk a little bit about what those dangers are, Jason.
Yeah, you know, there are certainly dangers about being online, and I want to be very clear about this. The dangers about being online and online predators is not just a MySpace issue. It is an Internet issue in general. And parents need to remember something is, first of all, MySpace at least has a police, meaning there are people roaming the site 24 hours a day, over 500 people, taking stuff down, looking for predators. You know, MySpace is working with most of the state governments right now in terms of their sexual predator database. There's somebody doing that. You don't have that on the Internet. If your child's online, they're just roaming out there and anybody can get to them. What makes MySpace more dangerous specifically is that it's easier to connect with people. And a lot of kids are putting their personal information out there. I mean, I've been online and I've seen kids' phone numbers. I've seen their home addresses. I've seen their email addresses. You know, I've seen them take a picture next to their car where, you know, they have their license plate so I can figure out who owns the car. You know, there's just a lot of kids that have thought that this is a safe environment where, as parents, we know better than to know that everybody doesn't have their best interests in mind. And so there is certainly an education that needs to take place for both the kids and the parents. And before we simply step on the panic button like you know, Dr. Phil has or anybody else is, MySpace is not specifically bad. It's not inherently evil. It's a tool. And this tool can be used for good or bad. The better a tool is at good communication, the worse it's going to be at destructive communication. And we've seen some of those cases where kids have been hurt or raped or anything else.
Now, I thought it was kind of interesting that the chief security officer right now for MySpace.com is actually a former federal prosecutor against Internet child exploitation from the United States Department of Justice. And now he's, you know, the guy who's in charge of keeping kids safe on MySpace, and I found that encouraging because if this guy has been working for the federal government, he probably knows what he's doing so far as tracking, you know, the sexual predators, people who are trying to harm kids. I'm hoping that he knows what he's looking for. But talking about what we should look for, one of the things that you cover in your book, MySpace My Kids, is the idea of virtual footprints. Why don't you tell everyone what that's all about?
Yeah. Well, anytime you go online, and, you know, I often tell teens this, is like, once you put something online, you've lost control of it, meaning that once it's out there, somebody can copy it, cut it, paste it, and send it to the 10,000 of their friends, you know. In the old world, if you had a school bully and, you know, they made fun of you, they told 10 of their friends, and, you know, that was terrible. You're in the new world, the whole new world now, where you say or put a stupid picture up there, they cut and paste it to 10,000 of their friends. And you'd never live it down again. And so we have to be careful. And basically, every time you put something out there, you put a virtual footprint. And what we tried to go through in MySpace My Kids is to teach parents and kids alike, like, if you leave a comment or if you write a blog or if you send an email, you're putting virtual footprints. Know where you're putting them, first of all, and secondly, know which ones not to put out there. You know, don't put yourself in harm's way, because we want to be able to erase anything we can, because the reality is if you're really fearful of sexual predators online, then you don't want them to be able to track those footprints back to your real-world home or to your real-world child. And so we got to teach you how to erase those and understand what those are so that nobody spends the time following them back to your kid.
Now, Why don't you talk a little bit about what specifically are these things that are virtual footprints that are very common that are put on them, and then how we can make sure that we're not putting that type of information out there that's easy for people to trace back to us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I would say a lot of parents ask me, what is the best thing that you can do on your MySpace or your kid's MySpace page? Well, it's probably the most obvious and the easiest thing is just making your kid's page private. And for parents that don't know what that means, it's basically if you're not friends with that person, they can't see what's on your page. That means they can't see their blogs, they can't see your pictures, they can't see any of your information. So 95% of your problems just went goodbye because only people that you allow on your page can see it. And so then you're not leaving any footprints from that standpoint because they can't actually see any of your information. But even from that standpoint, you've got to be careful about leaving comments, which on MySpace is basically, think of it as a virtual marker board or a virtual poster board where, you know, you go to come to somebody else's page and you write them a comment and it posts right to their page. Well, it leaves your picture and any information that you wrote to them, any note that you wrote to them. So instead of an email that just goes back and forth privately, you basically left a comment for them publicly. So not only can that person see it, but whoever comes to their page can see it. Well, that's a footprint. That's something that somebody can see. So when it comes to pictures and comments and even emails, you know, if you send somebody an email now, if you sent me one, man, I could turn and send it out to 10,000 of my friends and tell them what you said. And so you have to be very careful that you're not saying something that is, you know, it's going to hurt our faith, it's going to hurt the cause for Christ, or it's going to put you in harm's way.
I find it hard to believe that anyone can have 10,000 friends, because I think I can count on one hand, like, how many friends I have. Are these really friends? You have 10,000 friends?
Well, yeah, that's what they call it. I mean, the reality is we all know that it's pretty hard to have anything more than probably a dozen or a couple dozen real quote-unquote friends, because you only have 24 hours in a day.
That's true.
So to cultivate real friendship takes time and effort and energy. But on MySpace, you can have as many quote-unquote friends that come to your page and want to see your material or know you or spend time with you. I mean, some people have millions of friends, and that basically gives them the opportunity through things like mass emails and bulletins to send out information and hit millions of people at the same time, which is a lot of control. And with anytime you have that much power or control, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with it too. That what you are spreading is a message that is going to lift people up and be encouraging and, you know, do something that is going to be for the good of Christ and for our cause. And not everybody does that, unfortunately.
That's true. Well, you're listening to Raw Talk. Our special guest is Jason Illion, author of MySpace, My Kids. If you got a question or a comment about this whole MySpace issue, give us a call, 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. MySpace, what is it good for? It's kind of like that old song, War, what's it good for? And that's kind of what we're discussing tonight. So 505-338-5790, if you got a question or comment about MySpace and how it's being used. You know, really? Relationships on MySpace? Can you really call those relationships? That's the thing that I find most astounding. And, you know, let me say, even though I don't have my own personal MySpace page, I spend some time on the M88 MySpace page. I post some blogs there. And, you know, kind of check out who's applying to be our friends. And, you know, I go through all that. But honestly, I don't feel any connection to any of those people. It's cool that listeners are writing in, but I wouldn't call them friends in any sort of traditional sense. What do you think the danger is? And then this is just maybe totally an aside, Jason, that I don't know if you've thought about or anything. But what do you think the danger might be to the traditional social network, if so many people are now building quote-unquote relationships through MySpace, if they're communicating and doing all their socializing online, what sort of effect is that going to have on us when we try to socialize with people face-to-face?
No, that's a great point, and I certainly think it's one that needs to be discussed. It's, you know, anything that's online, whether it's going to be through MySpace or the Internet in general, even text messaging or email or any of that, that should always be communication that supports our face-to-face, real-world communication. It should never be anything that replaces it. And I think that in a lot of senses, there is a disconnect with this upcoming generation that instead of doing face-to-face communication, we can simply do it online. we can do it virtually, and that is not a healthy way of handling it. And not only that, it happens in the corporate world too, where instead of talking to the person to overcome an issue that's two cubicles away, you email them.
Well, I've never done that. I have.
Yeah, that's happened to me multiple times where somebody that's literally standing, 15 feet away emails me. I just stand up and say, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm right here. Come talk to me. We could have finished this issue in 10 seconds that we're now going to email back and forth for 10 days. And so, there certainly has to be, and this is where the parents definitely need to jump in and say, okay, it's okay to use MySpace or text messaging or email to relay information, but it is not a great way to build and cultivate real relationships. Yeah, once a relationship is going, yes, then that can be a way to continue to build it, but it's not a great way to start it. And that's something that this generation certainly struggling with. And when you had that 14-year-old that got on a plane to fly over to the Middle East to meet this guy that she met, that was because, she felt like she was building a relationship because she wasn't used to doing it well in the real world.
Yeah, and that's something that I've had a lot of concern as a writer, how quote-unquote tech speak is now becoming, the acceptable way to write. I mean, that there's a lot of kids who don't understand proper syntax or grammar or even how to spell anymore. Because, when you text message or you write online, that's not necessary. You just try and do things as quickly as possible. And I know there's a lot of studies going on right now about what sort of effect all the online communication is having with actual language and the written language and what sort of impact it's having on the youth who are coming up and learning that. And quite frankly, I find that fascinating. I mean, I don't know if anyone anticipated that online communities could have this kind of detrimental effect on communication, because everyone thinks that technology is going to help communication. We had the iPhone come out here recently, and everyone was trumpeting that as the next great advancement in communication and how that's going to help people stay connected and wired and all that type of stuff. And yet, as I look back on some of these other trends that have come along online and other gadgets that we have to communicate, what we see is a gradual decline in our ability to communicate. Maybe that's just me.
No, I certainly think there's some of that coming our way. And, what you see now, even with MySpace, I just saw technology the other day where, there are now video emails and video conferencing. That's stuff that's going to happen right on MySpace, where people are going to be able to talk through their computer by a video camera at any point in time and paste stuff. And, it's going to bring a whole new generation about how we communicate and how things are done. And so it is so important, it's critically important that we get a grasp on this right now, one, so that we understand our basic human language, whether that just be written English and how we communicate, but to know what our standards are so that we can continue to say, doing shorthand and writing you are versus you are is okay if you're just going to quick text message somebody, but if you're putting together a book or you're writing for class or something, you can't write in that script.
Right.
Yeah. And, it probably took me 3 months when I first got on MySpace to figure out, what are these teens talking about? It's like a secret decoder ring. What in the world?
I saw an advertisement once for a dentist where it used text speak for their advertisement. And the first thought that came to my mind, I don't know if I'd trust a dentist to do anything work to my teeth if he can't even spell.
Right, yeah, that's like having a lawyer, right? Yeah. Having an attorney all of a sudden just use text, you're like, I'm not trusting that guy.
Exactly.
And, I think it's different for this next generation because the teens of today, they grew up with that. They don't know any different. And, I remember when the first computer, and, I'm only 31, the first computer I saw was one of those green screen Apple DOS-based computers. We only had one in the whole school. And the only way you could do anything was understand, HTML and DOS.
Mm-hmm.
And now, less than, 15, 20 years later, I'm checking my MySpace on my phone, and I'm able to send a video message via my phone or via my computer that posts 10,000 people in 30 minutes. And so the world's changing drastically, and as Christians, we need to be ahead of that curve, not behind it, and we need to be understanding, because if we're ahead of it, then we can understand what tools and safeguards need to be in place to protect our kids and protect our faith.
And also, you know, if we're ahead of the curve as Christians, you know, maybe we can help keep some of this degradation of interpersonal relationships, understanding how to properly communicate, etiquette and things of that nature, from being eroded away from, you know, the text message MySpace generation. And more importantly, I thought this was very interesting. When you look through history, one of the first and most capable adapters of new technology is pornography. Every mm-hmm. time there's a new advancement into technology, the industry that is able to better adapt and use it than any other industry is porn. And that's sad.
Well, you know, it's funny that you brought that up. I just wrote an article called Pastoring a Virtual Flock for a bunch of pastors on Sermon Central. And one of the main points that I made in there is when it was the argument over Betamax and VHS, that was a battle back in the day. Well, the battle now is between Blu-ray disc and HD DVD, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, the deciding factor is the porn industry. It's because the porn industry are the front runners in technology right now. They're the first ones that allow you to download a full porn movie to your phone. You know, they're going to be the deciding factor because of their clout and their willingness to jump out there and take some risks.
Hmm.
Well, if you think about it, does that mean the porn industry has more faith about jumping out and failing in some things than Christians do? Because if it is, then as Christians, we need to take a better look inside of our culture and say, listen, if we don't have enough faith to jump out there and take some risks and say sometimes, hey, we're going to fail, but we're going to at least fail doing something greatly, then we don't really understand what we believe very well.
Huh.
And it hurts to know that, hey, Hugh Hefner is ahead of the curve. He's further ahead of the curve than we are. That should never be the case. We should be the ones setting the standard, not arguing it secondhand from a position where we don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I have to wonder, you know, and I know we're a little off topic here, but it's kind of a fascinating tangent. I wonder how much that has to do with money, you know, because when you fail, especially when it comes to the adaption and integration of new technology, it costs a lot of money. And, you know, with the porn industry, they got money to burn. The church, I know, can be kind of hesitant to do something unless they know that financially it's not going to put them into a hole.
Yeah, you know, and here's the irony of it all is, and, you know, I say this from a perspective of living in Dallas, Texas, kind of in the middle of the Bible Belt, but I can throw a stone in any direction and hit a $1 million church here, you know. And so you're telling me that we live in a country, the richest country not only in the world but in all of history, and that as Christians we can't find the money to jump out there. And, you know, our churches are full of guys that own businesses, that are corporate leaders, that are political leaders. And, you know, and if you look at the stats in general, we're not any better at giving, we're not any better at taking risks than anybody else out there. And the stats simply show that even Christians, you know, give less than 3% of their income to the church, to the cause in general anyways. And so what's happening is here is, yeah, do they have money? Absolutely they have money, but they're also willing to take risks to make more money and to have an impact. The question is, are we going to do the same thing?
Right.
Are we going to jump out there and take a risk, and meaning, hey, we may not be able to keep this building, but guess what? We're going to touch millions of lives if this does work.
Right.
To me, then what's the point of having the building in the first place if we're not out there touching lives?
Well, you know, it's a very fascinating tangent. I could do a whole nother show on that topic right there. But let's kind of steer our way back towards MySpace. And again, if you have a question or comment, 505-338-5790 to give us a call, ask a question of Jason Illion about this whole MySpace phenomena. And, you know, one of the concerns, especially for us as a radio station, when it came to do we have a MySpace page or do we not, was, you know, this issue of pornography and some of the stuff that's going on, some of the stuff that's being advertised on MySpace. And, you know, the concern was, if we as a radio station are on MySpace, will that be seen as acceptance or maybe even endorsement of the fact that this stuff is going on MySpace? Do we want to direct kids in that direction towards MySpace? You know, the fact that they log on, who knows what they're going to see when they're trying to find the M88 MySpace page. I mean, have you come across this kind of conversation a lot when you meet with pastors and other ministries when it comes to this issue of, do we use MySpace for ministry?
Yeah, absolutely. We've certainly had this discussion, and I'm glad that M88 had the discussion and is willing to talk through it. And, you know, the more I did research into this, and to be honest, when I first got on MySpace and first started doing the research, I was pretty hesitant and skeptical about the whole thing in general. And the more that I learned about MySpace, I realized it is, in terms of just content, it's safer overall than it is the Internet in general. I can find a lot more porn, a lot more hate mail, a lot more of that stuff outside of MySpace because there isn't the cyber police. There isn't anybody looking after it. And, you know, I kind of think in general it's kind of like saying, well, does the church have a website? Well, of course it does. Of course it has a website. It has to have a way for people to connect and know. And I kind of look at it the same way as MySpace. We're not necessarily, as a church or as a radio station or as an individual like myself, I'm not endorsing what everybody else does out there, but I am providing them an opportunity to find a sanctuary, a safer place to talk about this type of stuff, whether it be the porn industry or protecting our kids or peer pressure or sex or drugs or whatever it is, you know, if you know, Hugh Hefner is going to build a mansion that says, hey, this is what we're doing over here, we need to build another mansion right next door that says, if you don't want that lifestyle, come have this one.
Yeah.
And if those options aren't out there, then we're not going after the lost sheep. We're just basically protecting our own, and then what's the point?
You're just circling the wagons and trying to stay safe.
Right.
Now, let's talk a little bit to parents who are, you know, who want to make sure that their kids are safe when they're on, you know, they don't want to restrict, you know, them from expressing themselves, and, you know, that is their world. But what do parents need to know about MySpace? What should they talk about with their kids when it comes to MySpace in order that their kids will be better equipped to be discerning and wise when they're on MySpace and doing their MySpace thing?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost is just parents need to ask their kids about you know, where is your MySpace? And, hey, can I take a look at it? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of parents out there that may even be listening right now that they kind of know that their kids may have a MySpace, but they never really asked. They've never really even broached the subject. And in the Internet world, you can't assume just because there's no smoke, there's no fire. I mean, you have to actually, in fact, assume the opposite. Is like, if you're not hearing anything, that's a bad sign. You need to be hearing something. You need to hear the chatter. And for the parents that are doing it well out there, and I've met a bunch of them that have stepped into the MySpace world, is to just open those lines of communication with your kids to know, like, hey, I'm going to spend some time, you know, maybe once a week I'm going to spot check your page and just come by. Or, you know, a lot of parents have created their own MySpace pages to communicate with their kids and leave them a note saying, hey, we're having dinner at 7, or how did practice go, or whatever the case may be. And instead of thinking of it as like, hey, this is a terrible thing that can steal my kids away, you could look at it as the opposite and say, you know, how many times has your kid come home and said, well, how'd your day go? Well, it was fine. What'd you learn? Nothing. Well, you know, that's not the case. He's just not telling you anymore. Well, online now, he's telling you who his best friends are and how his day was. This is a gold mine of information. All this information that you wanted is now there. Use that as a tool to broach these sensitive subjects to know our kids better than we ever could before.
Now, what if a child, you know, I've heard this happening, you know, they don't want their parents to check out their MySpace page. They may even make, like, two MySpace pages. They'll make, like, the one that the parents can see, and they have another one that's their real one.
Right.
But the other one is just so that the parents are, you know, oh, that's your MySpace page. Okay, that's fine. But really, they're using this other page. What are you supposed to do about that?
Well, there's kind of two things. First of all, as parents, and we talk about this in the book, is your house isn't a democracy. Your kids don't get to vote. I mean, they don't get to vote on whether they go to school or eat their green beans. Same thing with online. They don't get to vote about whether or not they have, you know, online, you know, rules or what those rules are. You have to set your foot down and say, hey, you know, if you want to have a MySpace page, fine, I want to be able to see it. And I want this to be true, and if it's not, and if I find out in any way, shape, or form you're lying to me, you lose it. You don't get it back until you leave this house. And, you know, secondly, there's more tools out there. It's not just, you don't have to just rely and say, okay, rely on the trust factor. You can load programs to your computer, accountability programs that will see anywhere your kids go. MySpace is coming out with a tool here in about 2 months that will allow you to tag your kids' MySpace page so that anytime they log on from any computer, anywhere, you can see when they come on. And so, you know, you're going to be able to track almost anything they do. But to do that, you have to be involved, meaning you have to want to spend time figuring out, okay, where's their page? What are they doing? Why are they using this? And, you know, how can I be part of that? And, you know, even though there's always a little bit of initial pushback from kids, it's like, oh, it's not cool that my parents know. The reality is once you get over that first bump, for the majority of kids, you're fine and you're on your way.
Well, yeah, and it's good advice, especially, you know, so far as your house is in a democracy. It certainly wasn't the case when I was growing up. My parents laid down the law, that's for sure, and I appreciate the fact that they did that. You're listening to Raw Talk. Our guest is Jason Illion, and we're talking about MySpace. He was the author of MySpace, My Kids. If you have any questions or comments, 505-338-5790 for your questions or comments as we discuss this issue of MySpace. And Jason, let's move into the realm of ministry now. You know, we've talked about what MySpace is, some of the dangers, some of the problems. We've even kind of touched on this ministry issue a little bit. You know, MySpace isn't necessarily good or evil. It's how you use it. Let's be a little bit more specific about what sort of potential is there for MySpace, especially for the church. You know, I know a lot of, as a music station, just about every band we play has some sort of MySpace page, and that has become just an explosion of how bands promote themselves, how they get people excited about new music, about you know, how they let people know who they are, how they, even for some bands, it's how they break into the industry almost, is coming through MySpace and, you know, putting their singles up online and everything. So and that was actually one of the factors that played a part in whether or not M88 should be on MySpace, because all these bands that we play were already there. And so when we, you know, when people wanted to find out more, they were going to MySpace anyway to learn more about these bands, and that played a role in our decision on it. What can ministries do with MySpace that might be similar to how these bands are very successfully exploiting MySpace for their own purposes?
Well, you know, these ministries, and I've talked to a number of youth pastors and even pastors in general, is, you know, some of them said, like, you know, when you're trying to get it with your congregation or your kids, sometimes it's like herding cats, you know. It's impossible to get to touch with them, or if something changes, or, you know, we're going to change a service time or an outing or a conference. It's impossible to get the message to everybody until MySpace. And now there's a way where, you know, youth pastors can have all their kids that have MySpace accounts send out a bulletin, and in 10 minutes, everybody knows it's changed from 7 to 7:30, and now it's at Bobby's house instead of Cheryl's. And, you know, not only that, is they can send up daily updates, devotionals out on bulletins. Pastors can put, you know, they can actually go up there, and if they want, they can load a sermon on their MySpace page, and anybody that comes by can listen to it. And there's all these tools. It's basically, you're bound kind of only by your imagination. And if you really want to spend the time and go out there and look around, there's all sorts of ancillary tools that you can grab and paste your MySpace page and, you know, put pictures and, you know, ways to encourage. And there's even daily Bible verses where you can just paste them, and every day the Bible verse changes right on your page. There's so many different tools. It's kind of like, you know, what has God laid on your heart? What part of the ministry do you want to play? What part of the body are you? Figure that out, and then figure out how to use it on your MySpace page.
You know, when we as a station finally got through the debate about, do we want to do a MySpace page, do we not want to do a MySpace page, and we finally went forward and did that, once we got there, it was almost a little bit of, you know, brain freeze, because we got there, and then it's like, cool, we have a MySpace page. Now what do we do?
right.
And you know, I have some ideas that I'd like to try and implement here in the next year to really make that more than just, hey, M88 has a MySpace page, but make it into something that is an effective tool that is reaching out, and like you pointed out, that is being proactive in getting out the message of the gospel. I post blogs on our MySpace page, at the M88 MySpace page, on a fairly regular basis. You know, when I have an idea, that's when I, you know, write something. So it's not right on any regular basis, because I don't have ideas every week. Some days my brain just goes to Tahiti. I don't know what happens. But other days, you know, it's there. And so, you know, we post some of that. But, you know, barely tapping the potential of what we could do with MySpace. And so I'm kind of excited as we kind of, you know, gather our forces and think about, okay, what can we really do with this now? And I've been kind of surprised at just how many kids got excited that M88 just had a page. Not necessarily that we're doing anything with it, but they were just stoked that we had a page. And like we talked at the beginning of the program, it was almost like they now felt like, cool, I can have a relationship with M88 just because they have a MySpace page.
Well, exactly. And it comes back to that point that we said earlier in the show. It's like, it's about thinking in this huge wide world that there's really no way that a kid in Albuquerque would be able to really know M88. But on MySpace, it feels like, I can kind of have a personal relationship where, you know, Yo gets back to me and writes me an email or sends out a bulletin and I actually get it, you know. So it kind of takes away some of those barriers that we used to feel that were there. Like, hey, there's really no way I'm ever going to talk to this band or leave a note for them. Well, heck, you can leave a comment on MySpace and they're going to get it.
Now,
you know, that just changes the way we look at the world and our relationships, not necessarily in a bad way, but we do need to realize that, you know, there are certainly bad aspects that can come out of it if, you know, we haven't educated ourselves and really just learned. And, you know, and you bring up a really good point with M88 in general is in the Internet world, we have to accelerate our education. We can't spend 2 years debating on something. That is like 10,000 years in the Internet world. You know, we've got to make a decision, in good, bad, or otherwise, and go with it. And, you know, here's the beauty of God is if you make a decision that's wrong, it's going to blow up in your face, and then you can make the other one. Then you can go back and fix it. Mm-hmm. But we can't sit around and debate these issues forever. We got to jump in there, and that's the part about learning on faith is you jump in, and you figure it, you know, you figure it out as you go. And if you don't know all the answers, and that's where God gets to help fill in the blanks.
And I also like, you know, that's implied with that. If you make a mistake, you know, we serve a God of grace. You're like, okay, blew it there. Sorry, let's start over. And, you know, I think sometimes as Christians, no matter where, you know, trying to figure out how to use new technologies or just sin in our daily life, sometimes we like to spend a lot of time groveling. Woe is me. I'm so terrible. I'm not worthy. All that type of stuff. But we live in the type of world, and you make an excellent point, we live in the type of world where we don't really have time to do that. If we want to keep up, yes, as Christians, we're going to make mistakes. But you know what? God's grace will cover that. He'll forgive us if we confess our sins, whatever it may be. And then it's time to move forward. We don't have time to dwell on the past.
No, and I think that's kind of part of the daily walk of being a Christian, isn't it? Where if you're really spending daily time in the Word, with God, in prayer, then when something comes up, you don't have to go take 5 days or 5 weeks to debate and pray about it. You've been praying every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let God speak to you, make a decision, and move forward. And, you know, the beautiful thing about if you read all the biblical stories is anybody that God considered great and wrote a big story about, that man or woman failed spectacularly, you know?
Right.
They made a huge mistake, and God's grace, as you mentioned, made all the difference. And it's the same thing in this world is, you know, I hope there's some Christians out there that are willing to step out on God's word, and even if they fail in a spectacular way and let God show up.
Well, I came across some practical things that you can do if you're a ministry who's thinking about use MySpace for your ministry. And, you know, you can comment on these as we go through them, Jason, and maybe elaborate a little bit more than what Sorrell found for us here on Raw Talk. Number one, if you're going to use a MySpace page, consider your demographics. Figure out who your MySpace page is going to be aimed for, and then figure out, you know, how you want to make it look and all that type of stuff. But know your demographic first before you go out and make a MySpace page. Anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the same as, you know, any ministry in the real world. Understand who you're talking to, so that you can tailor the message to that, but also understand that anybody can see it. So even if you are tailoring this to the teenagers, understand that a 55-year-old can also come on and see it. Just be wary of that because, you know, you're going to have to – you're now working in a world where anybody can see what you're doing.
And, you know, that's good advice about anyone can see it because one of my big things is if you're going to do something like this on MySpace, be wary of Christianese. I do a lot of movie reviews for another Christian movie website, but it's a website that's very much geared towards, you know, relating spiritual insights from films in a way that anyone can understand them. And, you know, they always say when we're writing these reviews, think of it as if you were trying to explain it to someone who doesn't know the Bible, who is a non-believer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good advice even just for a ministry web MySpace page is, you know, think about what it would look like if someone who doesn't know anything about the Bible were to view it, what would they see and what would they get out of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I think that's great advice. And, you know, that's not only a MySpace online. Think of that in the real world, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you give an answer to something, you know, it's always be prepared to give an answer. You know, we don't always have to just even give the address of it, or we don't have to quote it word for word, but, you know, say it so that somebody can actually get it and understand it, and, you know, they want to ask more questions about the faith.
The next thing that we came across, so far as advice for a ministry on how to use MySpace for your ministry, do MySpace in addition rather than instead of a regular website. And that was actually an issue that we discussed a lot here at M88, you know, how would the MySpace page interact and be a part of our regular website page. And one of the cool things that came out of that discussion and this piece of advice is the fact of the matter is there's some people who, A, don't care about MySpace, don't know how to use MySpace, or, you know, Christians who just flat out don't want anything to do with MySpace. And so as a ministry, it's helpful also just to have a regular website where they can go and get the same information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think that's great advice. And, you know, the great thing about MySpace is, you know, websites cost something. MySpace costs nothing.
Right.
So, you know, if you're a new ministry or a new church, you can now start a MySpace page even before you can afford a web page, before you can afford a webmaster or any of that. You can have a page to at least get your message out until, you know, you get to a point where you can financially handle it.
And kind of spinning off of that last piece of advice is to make sure that you duplicate content. Whatever you put on your MySpace page, also put on your web page. So that way you're not leaving out any of your potential audience, and that someone who likes to visit MySpace isn't missing out on anything that would be on the regular web page. You know, there's a lot of people who all of the information they get is basically from MySpace. Like I know a few people whose world is MySpace. If it happens outside of MySpace, they're like, really? I didn't hear about that, so
right,
it must not have happened.
Right.
Go ahead. Do you have anything that you want to add to that?
No, I mean, I think that's wise. You know, if you can have duplicate information, you get a better chance to, you know, hit people on both sides that either do know MySpace or don't know MySpace. And if you think about it, probably people over about 35 or 40, they're most likely not as proficient of MySpace users as the people under that age.
Well, we got just a few minutes left here, Jason. So really quick, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, sure.
How often do you use MySpace, and do you really respond to people who, like, send you messages on MySpace and, you know, connect as your friends on MySpace? I mean, do you really connect with people through your MySpace page?
I check my MySpace account probably twice a day.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for a couple of reasons. One is I put the first couple chapters of my Undressed book out there for people to read. And I probably once every other day at least write some type of devotional or some type of relationship question that I get from people and post it out there for people to read. And so it is, for me, it's a great tool. It's a great way. And, you know, when I first opened the account, I was thinking, well, yeah, what a great way I can respond to everybody. Well, that's just not possible.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's going to pay me for spending time writing MySpace messages. It's not going to work. And you know, the reality is I'm not trying to build relationships, and it's not even healthy because, you know, I am married, and I don't need to be building emotional relationships with other people out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do take questions that people write to me, and, you know, I do post them up as bulletins. And, you know, sometimes people just ask private information that they don't want posted as bulletins, you know, and they just want somebody to listen. So for me, it's been this new amazing tool that I would have never anticipated, you know, less than a couple of years ago.
Well, would you mind telling people what your MySpace page is in case they want to find out more about you?
Yeah. And, you know, these addresses are similar for everybody. It's just myspace.com/, and then it's Jason Illian, and the last name spelled I-L-L-I-A-N. And just so you know, parents and people know, every address in the MySpace world is just www.myspace.com/, and then whatever it is, like whatever address you want to have. So mine's just / Jason Illian. And, you know, we get people coming there asking questions and, you know, meeting other people. And it's also been interesting to see how many people I've even met, reconnected with some old friends from elementary school and places that I come speak, and, you know, conferences, teenagers will write and parents will write questions. So it's a tool that I would never been able to use before had it not been for MySpace.
Well, very cool. Jason Illian, author of MySpace, My Kids, joining us tonight as we talked a little bit about this. Any other final parting thoughts that you'd want to share before we kind of wrap things up tonight?
You know, more than anything, is just to, you know, just to let parents know is, you know, if you really, truly want to be intimately involved in your kids' life, You need to understand, you know, the technology and the world that they live in. MySpace is not going to be the hot thing forever. It just won't be. It'll move on to something else. You know, there's other things like Second Life and a number of other things that are going to come up in the next 5 years that you're going to have to understand. But if you really want to know your kid, if you want to give them the best chance, then you got to spend some time getting to know them. And that life is some of it's online as well as in the real world.
All right. Well, Jason Illion, thanks so much. Real quick, are you working on anything new? You got any new books coming out? What are you working on here in the near future? Or are you just focusing on growing your family?
Well, I'm certainly focusing on growing my family, taking care of my wife. But I am also working on another relationship book, and hopefully that'll be something I can talk more about here in the next couple months. We'll see which publisher I want to work with.
All right, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about that, and I'm sure we'll be chatting with you more when that comes out. Thanks so much for your time tonight, Jason. Be sure to tell your lovely wife thank you also for letting us borrow you for this hour, and we certainly appreciate her willingness to let us chat with you on these evenings that we get to hang out, and appreciate all that you're doing, Jason. It was great to chat with you again, man.
It's always good talking to you. Yo, take care of yourself, man.
All right. All right, and that's pretty much going to wrap things up for tonight. I do want to close with one verse from the book of Matthew in chapter 10. In verse 16, Jesus tells us, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." And that is certainly sage advice from Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, as Christians, we live in a dangerous world. There's no denying it. And the virtual world is just as dangerous, in some cases perhaps more dangerous, because you don't always know who the bad guys are in the virtual world. But as Christians, we can't let that terrify us to the point where all we're going to do is hide in our own little Christian bubbles. Jesus even acknowledged the fact that he was sending out his disciples into a dangerous world, and he told them that they need to be shrewd as serpents. That doesn't sound very nice, but the fact of the matter is he didn't want his disciples to be duped easily by anything. So it's important for us to be wise, to be knowledgeable, to be educated, and to know what's happening in today's world, today's fast-paced, high-tech world. But at the same time, to maintain our innocence, be as innocent as doves. And that may seem like a difficult thing to do, but it is possible. It's something that we need to strive for if we're going to set ourselves apart and show Christ that, and tell a world that's all caught up in all the gadgetry and the high-techness that Jesus Christ is still relevant, even in online communities, even when everyone is talking on a phone and typing out text messages and not spending any time talking to each other. Jesus Christ is still relevant in that kind of world, just as he was 2,000 years ago when you didn't have MySpace or any of those other high-tech gadgets. So I hope that encourages you. I hope you got some answers to questions about MySpace tonight. Next week on Raw Talk should be an interesting time as we talk about Harry Potter. New movie just came out. There is a new video game that just came out. And the final book of the Harry Potter series coming out later this week. And so once again, we'll address this issue of Harry Potter. Is it really just a tool to recruit people for Wicca? Or maybe is it yet another allegory? Kind of like Narnia. Is it a Christ allegory? We'll examine those issues next week on Raw Talk. Love to hear your comments and opinions about that as well, because I know a lot of people have them when it comes to Harry Potter. So that's going to be next week on Raw Talk. Until then, I hope you have a shway week in the Lord. Thanks for joining us tonight.